Good evening, everybody. Hello, how are you doing? I hope you are all well, and I hope you enjoyed that inspirational and very, very morale-boosting intro that was kindly created for us by our media team. We are here, of course, to do the PA monthly update, and I'm really excited about tonight because we've got a lot to cover, and because of that, we're going to have a slightly different format tonight. The first half is going to be about activism. Then we've got something very serious to talk about. We're going to talk about the situation with Charlie Big Potatoes, a.k.a. Christopher Kearney. It's been widely reported in the press, and I'm going to give some takes on that. But we do have a lot of good stuff to talk about before then. Now, we're live tonight on Odyssey. We're live on DLive. We're live on Radio Albion. And if you value our work and you'd like to make a donation, you can do. You can do so, and you can ask questions through Entropy or Odyssey. The Entropy link will be placed in the chat throughout the show. And if you want to ask a question on Odyssey, all you do is hit that support button. Anyone that leaves a donation will have their comment read out live on tonight's stream. That will be done. And also, if you leave a question through Entropy, even if it's a non-paid question, we will discuss it tonight as long as it's relevant to the stream. Now, secondly, if you'd like to donate via cryptocurrency, all my crypto links are in the description of this video, whether you're watching it on Odyssey or the replay on BitChute. And finally, you can write to me, as you always can, at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. Now, I'm going to start by introducing our deputy leader, my friend, our wonderful co-host, mother, all-round superstar, Laura Towler. How are you doing today, Laura? Are you as pumped up and as excited about this stream as I am?
Yes. Well, thank you for that introduction. Yeah, this is my favourite stream of the month. I absolutely love it. It's just amazing to look back at all the work that we've done and all the effort that our activists have put in and celebrate it, really. So I always love this stream. It's been a very, very, very busy month. We keep sort of saying that PA's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but I think everyone saw in February how active we were, just going from strength to strength. So yeah, we've got so much to cover that we're not even doing the regional roundups at the end. So I'll keep it short and pass it back to you.
Well, thank you, Laura. That wasn't even long enough for me to share the link all over my social media. So I could have done with another maybe 30 seconds. But I think the best place to start this month is obviously with Skegness. I think February has been a month that no one really saw coming. It's been a month of sort of unbridled successes. It's been a month of demonstrations. It's been a month of record numbers on the street. And PA activists just keep raising the bar. And we raised the bar massively in Skegness, where we worked with local people to produce the best ever patriotic alternative demonstration to date, with somewhere between 400 and 500 people in attendance at Tower Gardens in Skegness, listening to PA speakers, speakers from other organizations, and locals who got up on stage. And I've got to say, what an event. And before I asked for Laura's opinion on this and how she felt on the day, I want to give some thank yous. The first thank you I want to give is to Scott Pitts, the local organizer. I worked with him very, very closely in the run-up to the event. Now, when we arrange these events, a lot of effort goes into it, both for myself, from Laura, and from our local teams. But this guy is a local activist. He was the one who came up with the idea. We worked with him. And when we work with local activists, we offer them a range of different options and a range of help. If they're going to speak, we offer them legal advice on what they can and can't say. You know, we don't want anyone getting up and saying something they shouldn't, which may damage them and us. We offer them legal advice on any leaflets, banners, or placards they're producing. And we also make sure we bring the scaffold, the staging, the amplification. We help these people in multiple, multiple ways. Now, the second group of people I want to thank is all the people who got up and spoke at these events, from our leaders, our activists, the local people. And when you're at these events, you get local people who say, can we get up and say something? We had a queue of local people who the more they see of you doing, the more they want to do. It gives them strength. You know, there's people there in the crowd who are a bit nervous, and when they see the PA guys get up and give a bit of a speech, they say, well, I want to say my bit now. And it was so lovely to welcome those locals up on stage, from local homeless guys who've been told to move on by the council, to mums, local business owners. It was wonderful. And also, look, these events are not exclusionary to other groups. We have other groups working with us. I was in touch with a group called the Patriots of Britain. There was the Yorkshire Patriots who were there. And the Yorkshire Patriots leader, he got up on stage and spoke. We don't tell other people to go away. We don't tell people they're not welcome. If people come in good faith and will stand with us, we'll get them up on that stage. Now, I'd also like to thank all the East Midlands activists and the East Midlands RO who helped pull all this together. Thank you so much for all your hard work. And I want to say a really special thank you to all of the guys who were there from 9 a.m. on the morning in Tower Gardens for 3 hours, stood there guarding the bandstand. Because we have to say where the event's going to be. We have to say what we're going to be doing. And that gives the left a bit of a chance, if they wanted to descend on the area where we're holding these static demonstrations and sort of gluing themselves to the bandstand or trying to prevent us from holding the event. And we had guys there from early in the morning. Thank you so, so much. A special shout out, as I said, to the East Midlands activists. I don't know whether they want to be named, but I know one guy I'm going to name, Big Joe, Joe Marsh. I'll tell you what. If that guy was sat in the bandstand, I wouldn't like to be the scrawny, withering leftist who had to move him. And I don't know, how many scrawny, withering leftists would it take to move one Joe Marsh, Laura?
I reckon 12.
12. I think you're lowballing it there. I think you're lowballing it. But it was an amazing event. And I want to deal with something else as well. There's people online who say, oh, look, PA have sold out. They deal with the police. Yeah, we liaise with the police. The police knew this was our event. They knew we were arranging the demonstration part of the day. We had nothing to do with the march that was earlier on. That was down to other people. But we were the ones behind the static demonstration. The police knew that. We liaised with them. Now, some people say, well, you're talking to the police. But I'm telling you this. When you've got 500 people coming, you don't want a dispersal order. You want it to be peaceful. You want it to be calm. And you want to have an agreement beforehand with liaison officers about where any counter demonstration is moved to. We do this because we're getting big enough now that we have to consider not only the safety of ourselves, but the safety of hundreds of people. And there were mums, dads, families, pensioners, people turning up, you know, in electric mobility carts. We have to look after them. We do these things the right way. We hold them early in the day so people don't have a chance to, you know, have a few drinks beforehand. And afterwards, we call for people to disperse and go home. This event was 100% peaceful, 100% safe, and there wasn't a single counter-protester there the whole day. And I'll tell you something, the media hated it. The media were begging for a kickoff. They wanted a disaster. And you could read in their headlines, you know, that the editors were crying. Oh, big demonstration passes off peacefully. And you know they were saying that through gritted teeth because it was a model demonstration. And again, I just want to thank everyone who was there, who helped in any way, the people who made the banners, the people who made the placards, the people who stood there guarding the event, the people who set up the scaffold, the guy with his van who brought the scaffold down on the day. Just thanks to you all. And I've left anyone out. I am really, really sorry. I've tried to include anyone. Laura, what are your thoughts? I mean, you loved it. You were the woman bringing it all, pulling it all together on the stage. The crowd loved you. How did you feel?
Yeah, I introduced the speakers on the day, and we've started doing that so that you can keep things ticking over, you know, rather than someone getting up and then climbing down and there'll be a pause in between. It just means that somebody's constantly talking to the crowd and it keeps them fixated. But yeah, it was brilliant. It was really, really great to get the locals coming over to us and telling us their stories. There was a mother called Cherie who had 6 children, and she got up on stage and she was telling us about and the crowd about how the migrants from the hotels were harassing her kids in the park. And then there was a businesswoman called Helen who got up, and she was talking about the problems that she's had from more of a business point of view. We had 2 homeless guys get up as well. One of them were called Ian. One of them was called Ian. Sorry, I can't talk tonight. And he was talking about how he's been living in a tent for 9 months and he's just had no support from the council or the government in general. In fact, every time he pitches his tent up and goes to sleep, the council come along and tell him to move. And he's like, they're housing migrants in that hotel. They're getting the healthcare, the dental care, the meals. They've got a gym, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it was really good to get firsthand perspectives from those people. But yeah, it was a fantastic day. And since Saturday, we've obviously stayed in touch with a lot of people who live in Skegness. And we've been invited back as well to go back and do another protest. So obviously the locals are really happy with it. Which there will be, because it was a massive success. You know, there were no problems, there was no kicking off on the day. I think all genuine nationalists looked at that event and just thought, yeah, you know, something big is happening here. These protests are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, more and more people are hitting the street, and yeah, it's just a fantastic cause for celebration at the moment. We're outnumbering the enemy by quite a lot.
We certainly are. And look, I want to show a video from this. Then we're going to get one of the local activists on in a couple of moments to talk about his role and how he felt it went. But let's share something with you beforehand. This is a bit of video footage of the event. We're still working on the speeches. They will be released relatively soon, I hope, because there are a number of really great speeches from that event. But I hope you enjoy this in the meantime.
To oppose the invasion of our ancestral homeland.
With schools are filled to the brim and have got no more places for local children who have to travel miles. This isn't right.
I am absolutely fed up with this country and what it's doing to its people. Everything has gone up in the world we live in. Everything's doubled every time you walk into a door. But £7 million a bloody day is going to these immigrants, and that is not on.
It is time to make a stand. Yes. And today has been spectacular. Today has been a show that we are peaceful, law-abiding citizens that are calling for change. But where do we go after this?
For as long as it takes. We've come here to say, and we keep saying it, for as long as it takes, enough is enough.
And when normal people, people like yourselves, British taxpayers, stand up and say enough is enough, the media start. They call you racists, bigots, Nazis. They do anything they can to silence the resistance.
This has to stop now. You know we are being invaded, so please listen to the British people for once.
Yes.
Close
yes.
the borders, oh. Do your jobs properly, and concentrate on looking after your roads for a change.
And I'm going to ask you this, Skegness. Do you want to be a minority in your own homeland?
No! Well, we were never asked if we wanted to do this. And in fact, we've told the government again and again that we do not want mass open door immigration. We tell them every time we vote in an election. We told them with Brexit. We tell them with every survey and opinion poll from Empire Windrush to the present day. But they do not listen to us.
We have to fight back now, and we have to fight back together. It will demand discipline and organisation, but it can be done. You represent the bravest among us, those that stand while others kneel. The politicians are scared, and looking at the numbers here, I can see why.
You have to keep up the fight. You have to keep up the resistance. You have to keep telling your MP that this is wrong, because they're supposed to be our representatives, but they don't represent us. They hold these meetings to pretend like they're listening, to pretend like they care. No, all they do is they tell us, they dictate to us, they tell us what's going to be done to us, but it's time we tell them what we are going to do to them. We are not going to give them more power anymore.
We're going to start putting British people first!
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That's a taster of things to come. I'm hoping we're going to get those speeches out soon. And now we're going to bring on our first guest of tonight. Hello, Carl. He's an East Midlands activist. He was instrumental in setting this up, and he spoke on the day. How are you feeling, my friend? Are you still on a high from last weekend's activity?
Yeah, feeling great. It was pretty good. Yeah, enjoyed it immensely.
I don't know about organising it though. That was the RO and some of the other officers. They put in a lot of work.
So how did it feel to give a speech, your first speech at a big public event like that?
It was absolutely terrifying. I thought I'd be all right. That's what I kept telling myself. I always say that, you know, I just walk around with sort of a naive optimism. But once I got up there, opened my eyes, that were it. It was like, I'm here now, so let's just get it done.
You did really well. You didn't look nervous at all, and it was a really good speech. Have you listened back to it?
Only bits. It's hard to explain. Like, the minute I got up there, half of what I wanted to say just flew out of my head. It's strange. It's like, so you sort of have confidence, but then it sort of drains from you. I think in time, you get more used to it. But yeah, it's definitely not felt like that since I was probably, a young lad?
yeah. What did you think of the locals then and their stories? And it just feels to me like it's such an exciting time at the moment because people have always said, oh, PA are too far right or PA are too extreme and, you know, the public will never take to you. Literally talking rubbish. The public don't care. They're coming out to march with us and, you know, protest with us, and they're inviting us to their demos and all that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on that, Carl? Like the relationship, or I guess what I'm trying to ask is how do you see that the public are taking to Patriotic Alternative at the moment?
I think people have been taken out of that framework of the old sort of legacy media. They're still wary when people say negative things. They're not quite sure what to make of it, but there seems to be an opportunity there now, though, where you can actually talk to them one-on-one or as a crowd, and they're actually listening and being receptive to what you're saying. And then after about 5 or 10 minutes, you realise that you're not really that much different from each other. That you know, you're all pretty much on the same page. It just depends on whether, I think I mentioned this to you on a stream I did earlier this week, that we sort of think about it, but they feel it. So when you articulate yourself, yeah, they're very receptive to that.
Well, did you see the BBC video that they put on YouTube? Because it has, someone's just mentioned it in the chat 24 hours. There are 8,000 comments on the video and I didn't see a single negative comment. And that's the BBC, you know, that's the mainstream media, the biggest media outlet in Britain. And they put this video up calling as far right and saying far right protest in Skegness. And just every single comment is in support of us. And in support of the locals as well. I think times are changing, and I think this is an issue that the vast majority of British people are with us on. You know, I even saw comments from people saying, I'm as left-wing as they come, and I'm against these illegals being housed in these hotels. So it's a good issue, and it is the bread and butter of nationalism, really. I keep seeing these articles saying that nationalists and the far right are co-opting these issues. If anything, you're co-opting the issues from us because this is nationalism. You know, this is our issue. It's what we do. And they're trying to say that we're, you know, just pretending to care about it because we've got some hidden agenda. This is our open agenda to protect our people and have a safe homeland for our people. If anything, like I said, other people are co-opting it from us. But yeah, I just think it's really exciting times at the moment. I don't know if you have another question, Mark.
No, I just want to, one last thing. Thanks for joining us tonight, Carl. But also, before you go, just tell us how, you know, your region felt afterwards. Were you guys happy with the way everything played out? Were you enthusiastic? Did you all leave on a high?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone loved it. It was great. We tend to have successful events anyway. But yeah, this is just like the cherry on the top kind of thing. Like, it just seems to get better and better as the months go on. And we get bigger and bigger. And people get more and more active and more confident. Which is a very good thing. Because we're not doing anything wrong. Which is, you know, it's a lot of it's just rhetoric. Once you see past it, and sort of learn that they're just trying to slander your name, there's no bite to it.
Well, that's an interesting point as well, because I'm seeing more and more people go face out. And do you remember when people used to say banners in the middle of nowhere? It's like we're literally marching through every city with PA flags now. You can't use that argument anymore. And everyone's just face out. Everyone's public because no one has anything to hide. And it's such a good thing to see because it takes the power and the control away from our enemies. They can't dox us anymore. They can't use that as a tactic. So they're going to have to find something else in order to attack us, because our people are out and proud. And they're saying, yes, I'm a nationalist. I care about my people and I make no apologies for that. And it's so good to see. I'm just, I'm definitely on a high from that weekend.
Yeah, people took cards as well. And I mentioned to a few locals that, you know, we are there for them. That's why we're there. We get nothing for this. We don't get anything for doing this. You know, we do this because it affects us too. We live here. We're not taking advantage of any situation. It is our situation. You know, this is our home. We live here. And it affects us too. And to say that we're some kind of insurgents or some, like we're coming from some other part of the world to stir up trouble in England, it's like, no, this is our home. Like, it affects us too. So, yeah, I think they liked hearing that as well, that people were there and that there's people that they can contact if, you know, anything happens, and that we'll come and we'll draw attention to it.
Look, Carl, thanks a lot. It's been good speaking to you, and let's move on because we've got a few more guests and things to discuss before we get to the second half of the show. So thank you so much, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
All right, thank you.
Cheers. I just want to address one point as well. All the people who said, oh my gosh, are PA doing another banner drop in the middle of nowhere? Those people were literally dribbling retards. We did a banner drop at the top of Ben Nevis, and it made international news with tens of millions of people seeing it. Those banner drops were seen. I think the first White Lives Matter banner drop we did, which was in the middle of nowhere, I think that got seen by 12 million people on Facebook alone. So people who are snarking that that isn't an effective way of gaining publicity are literally retarded. A banner like that costs maybe £150. And if you said to any advertising agency in the world, for your £150, you're going to get 12 million views on Facebook, they'd snap your arm off for that every day of the week. Now, talking about more successful publicity, let's get Si in here from Scotland, because it's not just been about Skegness. Last month, the Erskine Says No demonstrations picked up more and more steam. More and more local people are out joining PA activists when we're holding these demonstrations. We are now working with the locals there on an even closer level to really push for greater community change. And it's another wonderful marker of our growth that at one point we'd have said, look, we had this big demonstration that was, you know, central to the month. But even if you took Skegness away, there are enough other demos, you know, Erskine, Cannock, to name but two, that we could have made the feature a part of this show. And that just shows how much we've grown over the last 12 months. How are you doing, Si? Because you've been instrumental in our growth.
I'm all right. I had you on mute slightly for a wee while there. I just clicked off mute to hear you dribbling retards. So that was well timed on my part again. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. It's been an excellent month, it has to be said. Regarding Erskine, things are moving along swimmingly. We've certainly made the elected officials there itch in their pants, let's say. We've had three successful demonstrations. Well, four, if you want to include the little bridge demo we did on the 11th of February. We're back there again on Sunday. And yeah, things are going pretty well. I mean, last Sunday we had the rugby on. We also had an Old Firm Cup final. And I think we still turned out about 80 people, which was pretty damn good, considering most of the blokes were away watching the football. We were pretty happy with that. And the engagement with the local community is a key factor here, and it has to be said. They're riled up now. They are very frustrated that their elected officials aren't talking to them. Just last night, the local community council, which is sort of the Scottish version of a parish council, had a meeting essentially behind closed doors. They all of a sudden, you know, these public meetings that they're supposed to have, and they didn't have enough space in the room they were in to allow the public in, of which about 20 people were going to go in. So it was just the community council, the local police officer and the councillors. So they're beginning to itch, it has to be said. And we've had Gavin Newlands, the local MP for Erskine. He's stood up. He's desperate for the Home Office to take responsibility for this and try and admonish him himself of any responsibility for what's going on. But I'm glad to say the local people of Erskine are quite happy to hold these people's feet to the fire. And I just look forward to Sunday morning now, so I can go through there and help them out. As you were saying earlier, what we do is, and it's funny because it kind of, what I put on a Sunday morning, or have been doing on Sunday mornings, is a little bit like my old job. I'll go there and set my stall out, and we go there, we put our banners up, we get everything ready, and then you wait for the public to come down. It's as simple as that, and that's what we do. They come down, we mingle, we'll have tea and coffee as well. Somebody's bought a couple of flasks, and it's been good. We've even managed to pretty much just ignore the small counter demonstration that always appears. If we actually do speak to them, it's basically just to mock them. I guess they've been quite amusing, and they were if I just touch on them very quickly, were left very confused last week. They had their number one sort of woman that done all the shouting for them. She wasn't there, so they were certainly lacking. We've got a nice big loudspeaker to blast them away with the theme from the Muppet Show and clown music and all these other silly songs that would play at them just to drown them out. And they ended up pleading with the public on our side, please, please come and speak to us. We need to talk. And I'm afraid that ship sailed for them. The public are well and truly on our side. So, yes, in a nutshell, it's going well.
So are your counter-protesters the same as ours, where they all arrive on the same bus and they've all bought a ticket?
I don't know if Catherine and Sophia watch In the Night Garden, but our counter-protesters look like the Pontypines with the little black uniforms and their red face masks on. So we played the In the Night Garden theme for them. they sort of appear out the bushes and they're told by the police. And we've got to say, we actually have quite a good relationship with the police liaison officers. And they come in one way, we come in another direction, and that's it. So it's going well. It's pretty peaceful. There's a bit the shouting and wailing and gnashing of teeth, of course. But the main thing is we get to engage with the public. Crucially, and this is a crucial thing as well, and people don't touch upon this enough. When you have like 400 people from Skegness or 100 people from Erskine in one place, these people don't necessarily know each other. I think we forget about this as well. You've got to instruct, tell these people, look, mingle, get to know one another. These are your friends. These are your neighbors. These are the people that you're living this town with and are fighting a common goal here. You've got to get to know each other. Before you get to know us, get to know one another, chat to one another. And, you know, people have, and they're making friends and acquaintances. And it's going well. I can't speak highly of it. I don't know how much longer it will go on for. I wouldn't want to say publicly what I think is going to happen next. I'll keep that under my hat, but it's going well, I think.
Wonderful. Well, it's good to hear that you're doing that. And it's nice to know that things are as good north of the border as they are down here in England. So thanks a lot, Si. It's been good speaking to you. And cheers. Now we'll move on to our next portion of the evening. Now, there is something we want to talk about tonight that we have spoken about in the past. I've spoken about it on my show. I think Laura's spoken about it on her show. But I think this guy deserves a little bit more praise. Now, I'm going to share this with you because it was one of the highlights of this month's activity. And it just goes to show what one dedicated man can do in the right place at the right time with a lot of guts. I hope you enjoy this video as much as I do. And if you've seen it before, it's worth watching again.
We've got the gentleman standing there, and then there's a gentleman over the back there waving his black cap. Or is that okay? Thank you.
Hi, my name's Wesley Russell. It's very telling that a lot of the conversation tonight seems to be around the hotel. But if let's not beat around the bush, okay? Everybody, I think, can agree with me that the biggest concern is everybody's welfare and safety. Now, don't take us for fools when you say that these people are refugees. We know they are illegal migrants. If these people were refugees, what are they fleeing from? It's very telling that we're never told what they are fleeing from. What wars are they fleeing from? What countries are they coming from? What are they fleeing? What persecution? We don't know. So we know that they're by definition illegal immigrants, which technically makes them criminals, and they should be treated as such. They shouldn't be put up in five-star hotels. They should be in cells, and they should be told they are not leaving until they pay for their ticket back. So my question to you is, not where are you going to shift them to in a year's time, how are you going to remove them from the country? And don't give me an excuse that, oh, there's the UN refugee document that we signed, or there's the European Court of Human Rights. We voted for Brexit. This is supposed to be a sovereign country. You could easily withdraw from any of those agreements, but you don't. Your party has failed time and time again. In 2010, David Cameron said he was going to get immigration down. How did that work out? We've got higher levels than Tony Blair, and it was his intention to flood this country with migrants on purpose. These people, not all of them, but some of them are going to go on to commit egregious crimes, rape, theft, murder, and there was a reason why the other day there was that ruckus in Kirksby, and we all know why it was, because a migrant was harassing a young girl. That is going to happen in Dunstable. It's going to happen in every single part of the country. You need to stop this now, or you're going to have a serious problem on your hands. Thank you.
Ask your question.
Okay. We'll move straight to the next question, please, sir.
Move straight to the next question, indeed. I don't think anyone in there was going to answer that very reasonable question of why the Conservative government have repeatedly claimed they're going to get immigration under control, only to increase it further. Now, Wesley is obviously a rising young star in this movement. He's a guy that has impressed everyone with his dedication, his consistency, his wonderful shows, his appearances on other people's shows. But I think this was a high point even for him. And since this, he was at Skegness. He was a speaker there. He gave an absolutely brilliant speech. He was received so well by the crowd. It's unbelievable. But these are the kind of people coming up through the PA ranks. These are the kind of people who are leading the conversation nationally. I mean, when that went viral, this is when me and Laura still had our Twitters, when PA still had Twitter. I mean, we're all banned now. We're banned. But I think my Twitter, I could probably even tell you how many times that was retweeted on my Twitter alone. And that's absolutely phenomenal. It's unbelievable to see that level of support for a young man just bringing up an issue like that. I can't still see this on my Twitter. My Twitter's sort of like disappearing day by day, so I can't actually find the thing. But I think it had well over 1,000.
Well, it went viral because it was seen millions of times, and MPs were tweeting about it, Labour MPs and Tory MPs. It just went absolutely viral. And the only people I saw complaining about it, apart from like Labour supporters and Labour MPs, was one guy who was like, it was in a church. I can't believe they clapped. They were so shocked that people clapped. And it was like, yeah, that's a real world away from Twitter. But it just had so much support. And even sort of like civic nationalists and people who maybe don't support PA on every issue, they were retweeting it and saying, don't agree with PA on everything, but well done. You know, I agree with everything that Wes said. It was just, seen absolutely millions of times. I mean, my grandma was telling me about it. She'd seen it on Facebook. It was posted everywhere. So yeah, well done to Wes. And the best bit, I think, for me was when she told him to stop and he just continued. And I was thinking, if I was in that situation, I think I would have stopped because I'm too polite. But now I've seen Wes do that. If I'm ever in that situation, I'm continuing as well. So I hope that he's inspired other people to dig your heels in and not shut up when they tell you to shut up.
I agree. And that wasn't Wes's only moment in the sun. Wes also confronted Joe Mulhall from Hope Not Hate and absolutely chewed him up. And that video also went viral as well. So I think Wesley will have to be seen as our viral star of the month. Now, we're going to talk about something a little bit different in a second. But before we do that, I just want to say this. This has been a very high energy stream so far, and it's been a lot of good news. But I just want to raise something that's a little bit more serious, a little bit darker. When we go to those events, when we go speaking at these different rallies, these demonstrations, at the end of them, there's a big queue of people who have come to speak to us. So at the Skegness demonstration, there was a queue of people who wanted to talk to me, who'd been waiting to talk to me. And I'm not going to go through their personal stories now, but I can assure you of this. Many of their stories were heartbreaking, stories that would bring you to tears, stories that when they're recounting to me, they've got tears in their eyes. And when you hear these stories and you hear about the way normal people are being affected by mass immigration and how they tell you that the police don't want to know, the politicians don't want to know, the local media don't want to know, these people, white working folk, are the most marginalized and downtrodden people in this country. And we're the people out there spending our weekends reaching out to them, offering them hope and helping to amplify their voices. This is such a just cause. This is something that is serious. And we can have fun like we've done tonight and talk about the big wins, but never lose sight of the fact that we're doing this to represent those people and to give them a voice and to give them a little bit of hope, because some of their stories are honestly heartbreaking. And I just want to say another huge thank you to all those people who did turn up, who did come out to help and were so supportive. And there was one particular family, I've got to say this, a woman, she brought her two girls. They're only little girls. And they'd sat up the night before making homemade placards so they could stand there and protest against this, because that family knows what's coming to them. And it's stuff like that that really touches your heart, that really makes you understand why this is so important. So if you haven't been to one of these demonstrations yet, please do come along. The next big one is next weekend. It's the 11th. It's in Cannock. Myself and Laura will be there. We've sent out an advert about it today. If you're not signed up to the PA mailing list, you should be. If you're not opening the emails, you should be. If you haven't got the email because it's in your spam folder, get in there and mark it as safe and have a read of it. Please come along and support us in the West Mids on the 11th. Is there anything you want to add, Laura, before we deal with the...
Some of the stories. I mean, one of the guys we spoke to had been actually mugged by the migrants who were staying in the hotel, and they'd stolen his rent money off him. So they were telling us some really harrowing things that politicians and MPs don't want to listen to. And I mean, I think I spoke about this on Tea Time, but one of the most touching parts for me were there were a couple of homeless guys who came over to us. And, you know, we'd said in our speeches, there are 250,000 homeless people on the streets and the government don't care about these. They're putting these migrants into hotels. Two homeless guys came over to us and said, oh, you know, we're homeless. We're living in tents. Can we get up and say something? And I've never seen that before. I've never seen them be able to speak for themselves, because I don't know how to put this without it sounding like I'm fetishizing it, but I'm not. What I'm trying to say is we don't speak for those people. They have their own voices. Does that make sense? And their voices should be heard. Other people shouldn't be talking about them, and other people shouldn't be talking about what's best for them. And just for them to actually tell us, you know, these are the problems that we're facing, it just makes it so much more authentic and real when you're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth. So we can get that. I mean, they swore a lot. They got up there and swore a lot, but they have a reason to be angry. And the public just gave them such a massive round of applause, because they shouldn't be going through this. We should not have homeless people on our streets living in tents and getting told to move while people are arriving on dinghies and getting sent to hotels and getting everything paid for. It's absolutely disgusting. So I think that was a highlight for me, if I can call it a highlight, because it was horrible. But it was good to hear that directly from them. I hope that makes sense.
It makes sense to me, and thank you for saying that. I mean, as I say, it is touching, and you have to remember why we're fighting. Now, we're going to move on to another issue. This is a little bit different. It's very serious, and some of you will be tuning in to hear about this specifically. It's the issue about a friend of ours, a good friend of ours, a content creator who we worked with extensively, somebody who was very much active within our online communities. We're not hiding any of that. We're not trying to brush anything under the carpet. We're certainly not disavowing this guy. We're not throwing him under the bus. And anyone who's saying we're doing that is lying. I'm absolutely not. I'm saying that I'm not. I'm in touch with his wife on a regular basis. I've been speaking to her today. I've been in touch with his legal team. And I've been in touch with him whilst he's been in prison. And he still is in prison. And we're obviously talking about Charlie Big Potatoes. We'll refer to him as Charlie because that's what he was known as in the community. His real name is obviously Christopher Kearney. That's been in all the newspapers recently. And he is currently on remand. And he has just entered a guilty plea for the dissemination of articles, written articles that could inspire terrorist activity. And he's entered a plea of recklessness. That's what he's pleaded guilty to. There's a several tier system, and there is guilty with intent and guilty by recklessness. He's pleaded guilty to recklessness. He's held his hands up and he said, look, I shared the link. I didn't know what the link was. I wasn't aware of all the documents in that link, and I did it recklessly. That's what he said. Okay. Now, I know that some people will say you should never plead guilty. It wouldn't be my intention to plead guilty, but this guy has been held in Spain for months. He was then deported, brought to the UK. He has been held in the UK in some of the strictest conditions I've ever heard of. I've spoke to his solicitor, who's told me that he isn't even allowed a chair in his cell. They've taken his chair away because he's not allowed a metal chair. He has had letters intercepted. He's had his letters that he's tried to send to people be destroyed. He has been cut off from his family, his friends. What they've done to him is disgusting. And they are acting as if he is a terrorist. Now, he shared a link on social media. And what his legal team have told me, what his defense is that fundamentally that link at its high point contained thousands of books. Amongst those books, there are a number of articles which are apparently illegal to share. And when we say illegal to share, the government doesn't have a list of things that are illegal to share. The government decides whether what you've shared is illegal based largely on who you are. So there have been cases where young lads have bought books that are available in WH Smith's, Waterstones, Barnes & Noble, etc. And if you were somebody of a liberal persuasion, you wouldn't be arrested for owning that book. You're arrested for owning that book because you have a particular political persuasion. And I think that is a real grey area in the law. And I've got to say to people, take on board what we're saying tonight. This is a very serious issue. If you're sharing something on a social network, be very sure of what you're sharing, be very sure of the source, and be very careful that what you're sharing doesn't lead back to a page that is full of stuff which you wouldn't want to be sharing. Now, I know that in the world of social media, that sharing, liking, amplifying things you agree with is something that is done by everybody. That is something that is a normal part of our life today. But when you're on social networks like Telegram, just be very, very careful. And I wouldn't share anything if it hadn't come from a trusted source. And this is what's got Charlie into this problem. As I said, he shared a link to a page that at its high point had literally thousands of books on it. But amongst those books, there were items that the state deems as illegal. Now, he has pleaded guilty. He's held his hands up and said, I shared the link. However, I did it recklessly. I didn't know what was there. I'm holding my hands up, but I didn't share it with any intent. I don't want to be accused of these things. He's claimed, you know, obviously, and I believe him. He wasn't trying to stir up terrorism. And I think the way this has been dealt with tells you a lot about the kind of society that we are being shepherded into, where sharing something on social media, not knowingly, not with any intent, can lead you into a situation like this. And that's very, very worrying. And my heart goes out to his wife, goes out to his children. He has four young children. One of his children, the youngest, was born just months before he was arrested for this, and he's missed that child's, that young child's life. And I feel terrible for him. I feel terrible for his wife and for his children. This has caused immense damage to his life. And I think the way he's been dealt with, it sickens me. I think it's vastly, vastly disproportionate to what he's been accused of doing. I'll be honest, vastly disproportionate. But that is the world in which we live. And obviously, I wish him all the best. I wish that he was reunited with his family. I wish his wife and his children the best. And I hope that he gets the right result in May when he is brought up in front of that judge. I hope the judge sees this for what it is and releases him for time served, and acknowledges that although he shared that link, he did so recklessly and without intent. And as I said, you know, I am not disavowing the guy. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I want him to be back with his family. And my heart goes out to him, his wife and his children. Would you like to add anything, Laura, before we go to the next
part? Yeah, a few things, but really quick. First of all, I think the laws in this country are disgusting. First of all, if certain books are illegal, they should make public what books are illegal. But obviously they don't want to do that because they want to be able to trip us up and say that there's a massive far-right terror threat when there isn't. Secondly, I don't blame Charlie for pleading guilty because he has a missus and four children. And I think his youngest is probably about the same age as Catherine. And just imagining Sam not being with Catherine for like the last year, I know that he'd want to get back to her. So Charlie obviously wants to get back to his missus and his kids. Things might have been different if he was free now and he was, you know, up for a fight. But I don't think we should blame him for that at all. And lastly, and I think Charlie will agree with me on this, I think this needs to be something that we all take on board as a lesson with regards to sharing things online. We're not bad people, we're not terrorists, we don't condone violence or anything like that. However, they will try to trick us up if we accidentally share something without looking at every single thing on that link. So just be careful with what you share. Don't share book depositories, don't share links to people's Telegram channels if you don't know who those people are. You know, don't share links to websites if you don't know what's on that website. The PA website is safe because everything on there is edited by us. Our Telegram channels are safe because we have a code of conduct, but they're desperate to trip you up. They want you to share something that has an article on it from 15 years ago that someone you've never heard of wrote so that they can say, oh, you're a terrorist because you shared that website and it's got that article on it. So let this be a lesson to us all to be extra careful with what we're sharing and double check because they do want to misrepresent us. And I think Charlie will agree with that. And I think he'll be quite happy for his experience to be something that teaches us. But I wish him all the best. And under no circumstances are we throwing him under the bus. It's disgusting, really, what's happened to him. And hopefully he can get home to his family soon. That's it.
I agree. And now I want to talk about something else in the wider context. Obviously, we are now going to get all of the trouble causers, the vultures, the liars, people who misrepresent what we say, editing all this together and saying that we are now linked to this dangerous terrorist and we're going to be prescribed and there's precedent for prescription. Look what happened to National Action. So I'm going to now do about if you don't mind, if you're here for this, I hope you'll work with me. I'm going to do a 15-20 minute discussion on this and explain a little bit of the history of nationalism in regards to this kind of thing, genuine precedent. And then I'm going to talk about PA as a group. I don't believe we're going to be prescribed. And if anyone ever tried that, we would fight that through the courts. I know how much that would cost. There are people going around online claiming it would be hundreds of thousands of pounds. It doesn't cost that for a high court injunction. People saying that are imbeciles. They don't have a solicitor I have a solicitor. I talk to solicitors and I speak to people who know what they're talking about. But I don't think we are going to be proscribed. Now, let's go back to the days of the British National Party first. I was in the British National Party. And when I joined the British National Party, the leader of the party had appointed a man as his second in command. That man's name was Anthony Lacomba, known as Tony Lacomba. I know Tony. He's a pleasant guy. He's a nice guy. But Tony Lacomba, as the BNP's second in command, its group development officer and one-time national organizer, he was a man who was convicted of a terrorist offense, who served time in jail for terrorism, and he committed that act while he was a member of the party. And what did he do? It wasn't sharing a link on social media. It was making an explosive device, which exploded in his car as he ate a KFC on his way to launch that device at a left-wing bookshop. Now, he was a member of the BNP when he did this. He was still a member of the BNP when he came out of jail, and he served as a leading member and paid employee of the party with that conviction. Were the BNP outlawed? No, they weren't. What's more, Dave Copeland, the nail bomber, who killed several innocent people with nail bombs, was also somebody who had attended BNP meetings. He was somebody who attended British National Party meetings and on his arrest had British National Party literature in his house. Now, were David Copeland and Tony Lacomba reasons for the BNP to be proscribed? Their crimes far more serious than Charlie's? No, they weren't. They weren't. Were they representative of the party as a whole? No. But even if you go back to the BNP's inception, if you look at the man who founded the party, John Tyndall, he was a great guy, an amazing speaker, but he had a string of convictions, one for actually running a paramilitary group called Spearhead. Did that see the party outlawed? No. And I'm going to get to what does get a group outlawed in a minute. Now, similarly, there is Britain First. Now, are Britain First a terrorist group? Absolutely not. Are Britain First a legal democratic organization? Yes, they are. Are they a registered political party? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Have several people who have committed terrorist acts that have resulted in the death of people been found in possession of Britain First literature? Well, yes, the media has reported on that. Has Paul Golding been found guilty of an offence under terror legislation? Yes, he has. Paul Golding was found guilty of an offence which was covered under terror legislation. Does that mean Paul Golding is a terrorist? Absolutely not. He refused to unlock his phone in an airport when stopped by counter-terror officers, and he was found guilty in court under terror legislation. Is Paul Golding a terrorist? No. Would I ever call him a terrorist? No. Do I think calling him a terrorist is ridiculous? Absolutely. Do I think the two people who committed terrible acts after being in touch with Britain First, donating to Britain First and having Britain First literature are indicative of Britain First as a party and organization? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Organizations often have outliers attached to that organization who do things that aren't in line with the organization itself. And those outliers, especially in an organization like Britain First, which has thousands of members, especially an organization like the BNP, which at its height had 14,500 members, those members or those associates of those organizations are not indicative of the organization as a whole. These organizations weren't banned. And ultimately, those people committed, or some of those people I've mentioned, committed far more serious acts than Charlie. The people trying to spread rumors or the media talking about prescription, they're obviously trying to scare people away from PA. Now we are going to go on to an organization that was banned, National Action. Now, National Action, before they were banned, they had a member called Zach Davis who walked into a supermarket in Mould and attacked a Sikh man, an Asian man with a knife with the intent to kill him. Did that get National Action banned? Well, it didn't, but that was a very, very serious incident. National Action also had some of the most degenerate people to ever grace nationalism involved with them. One named Ryan Fleming, he was a convicted child sex offender when he joined National Action. He was a member of the Order of Nine Angles, the satanic group. All of this was tolerated in National Action. And by the time he left National Action, he left because he was rearrested for a second child sex offence, and he was locked up for a longer period. So this is a double child sex offender, member of Order of Nine Angles. They were the kind of people that had got involved with National Action. But did that get National Action banned? No, it didn't. The leader of National Action, Ben Raymond, was a pervert, a degenerate, and a sicko. He put things on his website which were absolutely disgusting. He uploaded a picture at one point of a Jewish man being forced to perform a sex act on a skinhead. That kind of thing is disgusting. It does nationalism no favours, and it paints him as a sick individual. Did that get National Action banned? No, it didn't. What got National Action banned was the following. They, as a group, as an organisation, were in the process of characterising themselves as terrorists and of glorifying terrorism. They were in the process of making a documentary about themselves called Inside the White Jihad. I'm not going to do the salute. I'm not going to show you what it is. But their members were regularly photographed doing the ISIS finger salute. They were calling for white Sharia, and numerous members and associates of the group dressed in skull masks and posted up things on social media referring to themselves as the white ISIS. There was also numerous social media posts by leading members and official accounts which depicted in cartoon form the murder and abuse of people from other ethnic groups. And finally, the straw that broke the camel's back was in the wake of the Joe Cox murder, which was obviously terrible. We don't want to see anybody killed. We want to deal with this in a democratic and peaceful manner. The leader of the organization changed their website to read National Action and then followed that with the quote, "Death to traitors, freedom for Britain," which is allegedly what Thomas Mayer, Joe Cox killer, shouted as he murdered her. They put that as the banner headline on their website, as if it was their call to action, their rallying cry. That was clearly a case of the glorification of terrorism, and it was done on a group-wide level. The organization was doing that as an organizational choice. And that's the difference between an organization that gets banned, National Action, and organizations like Britain First or the BNP, which had several troubled individuals who had at one time or another been associated with them, who had gone on to do things which were terrible. And there is a big, big difference. Now, anyone telling you that what Charlie Big Potatoes has done is anywhere near on the scale as what I've just said is lying to you. And they are lying for a reason. They're lying because they're either bitter and don't like what we're achieving, or they're lying because they're getting paid by Hope Not Hate or MI5, or they're getting their beer tokens from some anti-nationalist group. And do not underestimate the depth of the pockets that these organizations have and the reach they have in paying malcontented individuals and bitter, twisted freaks who circulate in the dark corners of social networks grumbling about what good nationalists do. Do not underestimate the influence of groups like Hope Not Hate and the security services on those kind of individuals. So I can assure you, what I've told you tonight is all to the best of my knowledge true. I'm telling you the defense that Christopher Kearney, Charlie Big Potatoes, has put in, and I'm telling you we're not disavowing him. I'm also telling you that I find his treatment disgusting, that he is a friend of mine, that I get on very well with his family, that I speak to his wife, and that I've supported them. I believe that he entered that plea because he felt it was the right thing to do, because he wants to be reunited with his family. And I believe that he absolutely didn't know what he was linking to. I also believe there have been a number of bad eggs in the nationalist cause who have done things in the past, but there is a big difference between the action of one outlier and what an organization stands for as a group. Now, I hope that answers any questions that people had, and I hope it paints a clear distinction between political groups that have unfortunately faced criticism over the actions of individuals and a group that was not acting in good faith and was promoting things which I feel were damaging to nationalism. And if people think I'm just saying this now, I can absolutely prove that I'm not. And I can prove this because when National Action were banned, I released a video on YouTube talking about why I felt they had done terrible things which would create an awful, awful roadblock for nationalism in the future, because that was the first right-wing group in this country to ever be banned. There's only a handful. I think it's National Action and two groups that were classed as continuity groups of National Action. I think that's the only groups that have been banned. There aren't any others. So yeah, that's my statement on that. I hope I've explained that clearly. And remember, Entropy's open, Odyssey's open. If you want to ask me a question, you can ask a non-paid question on this topic. If it's a sensible question, because I haven't explained this clearly, or you've got anything to add, I will answer it. I'm not hiding from this. I'm not hiding from criticism. We've not done this hidden away on Telegram or in a backwater. This is on our main PA roundup of the month, and it gives all of you guys a chance to answer questions. And I just want to reiterate one last time, Charlie, we believe that he has been persecuted and wronged by the state for an act of recklessness, which I don't believe has led to any actual harm to anyone. And I just want that to go on record. Laura, do you have anything to add?
Oh, gosh. So I haven't been involved in nationalism for as long as Mark. And I was kind of in the counter-jihad movement around the time that we voted for Brexit. But even during my time in nationalism, I've seen calls for Britain First to be banned. I've seen calls for the EDL to be banned, everything that Tommy Robinson's involved with. The far left do this. And people have been saying that we're going to be banned ever since we formed. 3.5 years ago now, they've been saying, oh, Sam's allegedly linked to National Action, they're going to be banned. They're going to be banned by the end of the week. I think they've done it by like maybe 20 or 30 times over the last 3.5 years. It isn't happening because the beliefs of millions of people are not made redundant by the actions of one crazy person. So, you know, we care about our people. We love our people. We're a non-violent organisation. We're a legal organisation. And they're not going to be able to shut our organisation down because one guy in another country shared a link to some books. It doesn't work like that. And I will say, you know, the people on social media, there's a few of them, but they're very, very loud, who are scaring people, trying to say, oh, PA, you're going to get banned. These people are our enemies and they're obsessed with us. And they're saying it because they want you to believe it. And we're growing, you know, we're a massive threat to these people and they hate us and they're obsessed with us. And that's why they're saying it. It's not because they really believe it. It's because they want you to believe it. So you get scared and leave. But luckily, I think people see through it. And if you're on this ride now, if you're with us after 3.5 years, you know, you can probably handle quite a lot. You can handle all the media articles and all the names that you get called. And it doesn't seem to be having an effect at all. But we're not worried about anything. I think Hope Not Hate printed something a week or so ago saying, ooh, in the ranks of PA, they're very scared about this. And it's like, no, we're not. You don't know what we're saying in the ranks of PA because you don't have anyone on the inside. So, yeah, we're not worried. And I agree with Mark.
Well, thank you for that. We're going to do the questions now. And remember, if you have serious questions about this, we will answer them now. And we want to, you know, as I say, be open and honest with people. And that's why we've done this tonight. And I also think it was important to talk about, you know, historical precedent relating to other nationalist groups. Glenn the Chinaman gave £10. Thank you so much. And he said, someone mentioned Tunisia last stream. Did you see the protest the other day against the racist comments of the president yesterday? Migrants welcome signs and Antifa flags were shown. It was covered heavily in the Israeli press. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Laura, that in Tunisia, the Tunisian president is trying to stop sub-Saharan African migrants flooding into Tunisia, and he said he doesn't want any more of them. And basically, they are attempting now to prevent inward migration into Tunisia, and Antifa are now gunning for the Tunisian president.
I didn't know that, but I think it was it the leader of Albania that said something like, we're not at war, so the people coming from my country to the United Kingdom are not asylum seekers. I think it might be in Albania. It was one country who like totally backed us up and said the people fleeing from here are not asylum seekers. I mean, even if they can say it, and then there's still lefties in our country who are all like, you know, these people are fleeing persecution and war. It's like, just give yourselves a shake. It's just everyone else in the world can see it apart from you. So it doesn't surprise me, to be honest, that they have done that in Tunisia.
Well, it's good to see that there are some North African countries. I know Colonel Gaddafi definitely stopped the flow of migrants into Europe, but it's good to see that other countries are doing the same. Thank you for that, Glenn the Chinaman. Homotalk, I nearly pronounced your name wrong. Sorry there, my friend. Homotalk gave $50. Thank you so much. And he said, here's to Skeg Best. Well, thank you very much, my friend. I like that. I like that. Skeg Best. The Mad Hatter gave £10 and said donation. Thank you very much. And Aunt Sally gave £3. Thank you so much and said, PA are making a real difference now. Well, thank you very much, my dear. And we have some more here. $5 came from Mikey2363. He said, thank you, Mark and Laura. Welcome to all the new members of PA joining because all of the work you're doing. Thank you very much. 24 Hours gave $5. Thank you very much. And said, great work this month. I hope Charlie is free soon. It's outrageous what they're doing to him. Thank you so much. And Night Nation Review gave $6. Thank you very much. Said, appreciate the breakdown of the recent history of British nationalism from a Yank who doesn't see these things up close. It's important that history be known and that there are solid examples of nationalism that is taken seriously and done with mature intentions. Thank you very much, my friend. Rouse Yourself from Slumber asked, could we have a PA leaflet addressing the ULEZ expansion issue in London? Lots of discontent around that. Yeah, we could if people want to put it out in London. I was thinking more of doing a leaflet potentially about the 15-minute cities and these sort of climate lockdowns. What do you think, Laura? Do you think people would be interested in delivering those?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to ask the activists who are on the ground if they fancy a local leaflet. But we do have a number of local leaflets for Eastern have got some, Wales have got some. We've done them in Yorkshire as well for Linton Anu. So if the London activists want us to help with that, Mark's very good at creating leaflets and we could definitely do some.
I certainly will. So get in touch with me if you want to deliver them. I'm not designing them just to put them on the website and no one put them out. That's maybe why it's better to do something bigger about the 15-minute cities, but I would happily do that. I've been very busy this week, but I would happily get on to that. Rouse Yourself from Slumber also said, you mentioned the Green Party managed to take control of Brighton and got an MP elected there a while back. Could you briefly explain how they did that? Yeah, I actually can. The Green Party are very, very dedicated, if nothing else. So what they actually did is they stood all over the country for the European elections and they got an MEP elected. I think a couple of MEPs, actually, but one of them was in the southeast. And they looked across the southeast and they asked for all the polling data for the region. And the polling data revealed that the best place for the Green Party, where the highest percentage of Green votes came in, was from Brighton. So they said, look, Brighton is the place where if we're going to get a foothold, it's going to be there. So they asked all of their most committed activists to move to Brighton, which they did. And every MEP, there aren't MEPs in this country anymore, but every MEP who did exist used to get what was called a communication budget, which is so much money to spend on leaflets promoting their work where they're elected. So their MEP in the southeast spent the majority of their communication budget in Brighton. They had all these activists who'd moved there for this purpose, to help deliver these leaflets, to help fight local issues. And over time, the Green Party went from being, a popular but smaller party to being in control of the local council. And once they had taken control of the local council, the next step was to fight a parliamentary election there, which they won. And I think it's Caroline Lucas, if I'm not incorrect, is the MP there for the Green Party. So it can be done. It just takes a lot of dedication. Now, if the BNP had managed their resources correctly. That's exactly the kind of thing they'd have done. But the BNP resources under the then leader were completely blown up the wall on nothing. And that's why the BNP doesn't really exist anymore, unfortunately. I'm not reading out the next question, but I'll leave it there for anyone who wants to read it, because it is quite funny. The TRUK show said, "Hi, mate, please may you talk more about the conditions Charlie's been staying in. Hashtag free Charlie." Yeah, we at Christmas last year, we started talking about the situation with Charlie. And we started saying, look, people want to write to him. People want to support him. People want to help him. And we gave his address to dozens of people who wanted to write to him, send him Christmas cards, send him support. Now, not one person I know of has received a letter or a card back. However, after speaking to his wife, partner, she's told me that he wrote back to everyone. So none of these letters are getting out of prison. And we've been told by her that he has had basic amenities stripped from him to the point where every time they take him out of his cell to attend a court date, the prison hold him up for hours for searches and other things, meaning he's late for court and he was getting into trouble. So they started doing his court dates via video link. It's been awful what they've done to him. And I hope when he gets out, I hope he goes back to his family in Spain. And I hope that he does a stream talking about these things. And I hope, you know, he got my letter. I hope he enjoyed reading it. It was quite lighthearted, trying to keep his spirits up. And I'm just sorry that, you know, he hasn't been allowed to correspond with people. I know he's had one visitor, one nationalist visitor, but all others have been blocked. It's very sad. The Nationalist Struggle said the prescription lie was spread around by a certain bitter fat old has-been. Yeah, probably the same bitter old fat old has-been who wrecked the BNP. The Nationalist Struggle 40 also said Jack Renshaw was another degenerate freak in National Action. Yes, Jack Renshaw was convicted of exposing himself to young boys on the internet, as well as planning to murder somebody. You know, that was another National Action success there. And the Nationalist Struggle also said in El Salvador, the president has done a huge crackdown on gang crime as well. Yeah, I don't know if people have seen this, but in El Salvador, they've arrested all the MS-13 gang members and they've had a total lockdown. They've cleaned up the streets. They've put them all in prison. Everyone's happy. But the Amnesty International and all the Western leaders are like, this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. You're violating their human rights. What do you think about this, Laura? Would you get all the MS-13 gang members and put them in prison? Or would you give them their human rights to menace the local population?
Oh, well, you're the expert on this now, aren't you, after your time in...
Where were you? Mexico.
Yeah.
I know. You know, the funny thing is, there has been a distinct lack of cartel call it memes. I was waiting for the cartel call it meme, but there has been no memes. So if anyone... There hasn't even been a sombrero meme, which is disappointing, let alone one of me as kind of...
I think
of
there have been some, maybe like taco ones or something on PA Talk. They definitely had some...
Do you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm not going to talk in depth, but I will say this. Because of the situation I was in and trying to cross the border and having to do so much traveling, I didn't eat much Mexican food. And I did have, finally, when I finally plucked up the courage to have a burrito, it was actually the worst burrito I've ever eaten. Mrs. Mark, your burritos are like amazing compared to the one I had in Mexico. Saying that, though, they're tacos. Not the tacos, their nachos over there are absolutely amazing. Like proper hand-cooked nachos with their salsa. And their salsa is really watery. It's not like thick, but the flavor, like I was put off, I was like, this is a bit watery, but the flavor is unbelievable. Anyway, that's enough on Mexico. But yeah, moving on. 007 said, Sadiq Khan, some ULEZ protesters are joining hands with the far right. Yes, indeed. The Nationalist Struggle said the Mexican president could do with doing something similar with all the cartels. Yeah, look, you're not going to be cracking down on the cartels like you crack down on MS-13 gang members. MS-13 are like a street gang. The cartels are basically an organized army that control entire cities. I think about a few months ago, one of the cartels actually shot down a military helicopter with a rocket-propelled grenade launcher. These aren't like normal gangs. Now, if you watch any of these videos on YouTube about the cartels, they're a different kettle of fish altogether. You know, the level they have risen to in terms of control over local state apparatus and also military hardware, you would actually need, even when the army engages with them, the army often comes off second best. VM said, few questions. Do you not happen to PA London? Yes, the London organizer moved house. Also, where are the monthly roundups for each region? We didn't do them today because Laura's just moved house, so we didn't have time to prepare them, but we do have one for you at the end. And for your information, Pierre, making waves. Great work from everyone. Thank you so much. Would you rather live in Tijuana or London, Mark? Tijuana or London? I'm going to say, well, it depends what area of London. It depends what area of Tijuana, but maybe Tijuana. I don't know. I've already said the Burger King there was the best I ever had in my life. So I definitely rather have a Burger King in Tijuana than I would in London. I'll say that. But yeah, maybe one day I'll return to Tijuana to sample all the food because I won't have to be sat on the edge of my seat waiting to travel. Rory Herbert gave £5. Thank you so much. He said, dear Mark, you mentioned that you didn't think that PA might get prescribed. I think you underestimate the amount of political influence in the English justice system and how it affects his judges and jury decisions. Any thoughts on that one? If it would be scandalous to attempt to prescribe a group that has never, ever, you know, made any endorsements of anything illegal and never called for anything other than peaceful and democratic change. The fact we have a code of conduct, the fact we work with the police closely when we hold these events, and the fact we actually take advice from the police on what to the statements to release to our supporters before an event, advising them of times to disperse and what to do, shows that we are absolutely trying to avoid any form of confrontation or any form of trouble. You know, there are other nationalist groups who have barged into mosques, who have gone around migrant hotels, hammering on the doors, driven through migrant areas, playing loud music. We haven't done anything like that. We don't seek confrontation. We seek political change. And we've always shied away from anything that is confrontational. In fact, one of the things I've actually said tonight is that the reason Skegness was so great is because there wasn't counter demonstrations, there wasn't arrest, there wasn't aggravation. We don't want that, you know, and we've made that very clear.
If that was to happen, it wouldn't just set a precedent for Patriotic Alternative, it would set a precedent for every other organisation in the country. If you ban a legal, non-violent, peaceful organisation, then you can ban not just every other nationalist and patriotic organisation. You could ban the Conservatives, you could ban the Labour Party, you could ban the Lib Dems. And I think every other organisation out there who sits to the centre-right would probably be worried about it. So we are probably, I would say, like, out of all the organisations on the right, we're probably the ones who are the least confrontational because we are just so careful because we know that we have a massive target on our back. So, like I say, it wouldn't just set a precedent for us, it would for every other organisation out there.
I think it would. And I think you also have to factor in that fundamentally, we're reaching a point where people have to have an outlet. People have to have a say. People have to, have a way to vent their justifiable anger at the situation. Now, when it comes down to it, we are providing that, and we're doing so in a way which is far less militant, far less confrontational than groups like Extinction Rebellion or groups like Black Lives Matter. So, you know, I don't believe that we're going to be prescribed. And yeah, you might have MPs say, oh, they should be prescribed. But if you Google numerous nationalist groups or organizations, you will find instances of members of parliament calling for prescriptions, calling for groups to be banned, calling for people to be locked up or investigated. It obviously doesn't always happen. It happened in the case of the group I mentioned earlier, and I outlined some of the really sick and twisted things that they had done, and also the Zach Davis literal terrorist attack that occurred. One of their members literally went into a supermarket and started stabbing someone. You know, this is very, very different, and it needs to be highlighted, the, you know, the distance we have between us and a group like that. We would not want to ever be represented like that. And I wouldn't want to, you know, I think what that organization did tarnished nationalism as a whole. So yeah, that's very important to point out. Pi gave £5. Thank you so much. And said, well done, PA East Mids. Thank you very much. And Stan Wong gave £10. Thank you very much. And said, the state is claiming a further 85,000 asylum seekers are expected to arrive this year. If accurate, this will move the will move the general public closer to the nationalist position. What do you think, Laura?
I think the public are already overwhelmingly with us when it comes to this issue of asylum seekers. But the more we receive, the more people are going to join us. The more transparent it becomes, the higher the numbers are, the more people see them and complain about it, the more people who are affected by it in their daily lives, the more people who join us. I think like a pivotal moment for us was the BLM riots. You know, when people saw all that a couple of summers ago, it was our busiest ever time at Patriotic Alternative. But now we're also so busy because of the migrant hotels. And I moved house last week, so I was away for a week, and it took me all week this week to catch up on the new registrations and the contact form messages. And the vast majority of the messages that we get when people are leaving a message are about the hotels, you know, saying, I've seen you at a protest, I've seen an article about you, there's a hotel in my area, can you help? It is the big talking point of the moment. So if that's amplified in this country, more people are going to experience it and see it and come to nationalism. So yes, I agree with the point.
I think it'll do two things. I think it will bring more people to nationalism. I'm not sure how many, but I think generally speaking, it will cause a hardening of opinion. So people who already are on our side or already coming to our side will harden up, and it will harden their resolve. And when it comes down to it, I think that fundamentally we will see, people saying, no, I'm digging my heels in. We want these people to go. And I think that'll be the big thing. Rory Herbert said, slightly off topic, but do you have any thoughts on Argentina's recent statement regarding the Falkland Islands? Sorry, I don't. I've not seen that, so I can't really comment. The Thin Red Line gave $5. Thank you so much. She said, banning PA would be a mistake by the establishment. The law is not on their side and they would lose in court. Thank you so much. $25 came from Mikey2363. Thank you so much. And he said, PA attract the right type of people. We don't need to be aggressive or violent. Our message and practical activism appeals to anyone with a moral compass. Thank you so much. Dissident Thoughts that keep up the great work for $5. Thank you very much. And Black Pigeon Pilled gave 0.3 of a penny. Thank you, Black Pigeon Pilled. Your generosity knows no bounds. He says, he's always there with his fraction of a penny. And he says, does Mark think IRL meetups will eradicate the paranoia and mistrust which blights nationalism? Great work in Skegness, and thanks for encouraging the public to speak up. Yeah, I do, and that's why we do this. I mean, really the best way to answer this in a short way is say, go and listen to my second PA conference video, where I talk about bringing people out of the online sphere and into the real world. Because when you meet people, when you look people in the eye, when you talk to people, it builds trust, it builds friendship, it builds community, it builds camaraderie. And those things don't really exist when all you've got is anonymous people behind avatars. And I'll say this, there's a guy who comes in our chat, and he's always been a great guy. He's always supported us loads. He's in this chat tonight. I'm not going to name him. He knows who he is. If he's still watching, I hope he's still watching. He's a very generous guy, a very generous donor. And he turned up in Leeds and he came to Skegness as well. And it was absolutely lovely to meet him. It was lovely to shake his hand. It was lovely to put a face to the name, for him to come up and say, I'm this guy, I'm in your chat, I've always supported you. It was actually an honor to shake his hand because he's been around so long. And that is something that builds bonds which are far more strong, that are far more meaningful than just, you know, a connection you have with an avatar in a chat room. Is there anything you want to add to that, Laura?
Does his name begin with B?
It does begin with B. He's a great guy.
Oh, he's a top guy. He was at Seacroft as well.
I said Leeds. Yeah. Leeds and Skegness, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Yeah, the reason that we form these bonds IRL is because an avatar and a username doesn't really mean anything. You know, I had friends on Twitter that I was friends with for years, and then you get suspended and you lose contact with them and they disappear. But when you've got these IRL bonds, it means so much. And then, you know, whatever you're going through, these people have got your back. And also, if you need to do something like mobilise a protest very fast, they'll be there for you. Those people are there to protest and to contribute something. So, yeah, I mean, PA have always set ourselves up as an IRL movement. I know the media like to say that we're, you know, a savvy online movement and that kind of thing, but we're not. We're an IRL movement. And the reason that we set the organisation up like that is because we can get suspended from social media just so easily, but they can't suspend us in real life. And those bonds that we formed, you know, this community that we're creating, this network of people, it's long lasting and it's durable and it's deep rooted. So I would definitely say getting involved with people IRL, becoming an activist, or if you don't want to do protests and leafleting, that's fine, there's other things that you can contribute, but getting involved IRL and becoming part of the community, not only does it make you feel white-pilled and optimistic for the future, but it gives you faith in the struggle and your comrades, your fellow nationalists. So, yes, I agree with that statement as well.
Well, thank you. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. We've done all the questions. We've done all the super chats. I hope you found tonight informative. I hope you found tonight interesting, and I hope you've enjoyed the tone of the stream, and I hope I've put, you know, any rumors to rest about the situation regarding Charlie. And also, again, you know, Charlie, we've got your back, we love you very much, and we're behind you and your family all of the way, and we hope you're reunited with them shortly. Is there anything you want to add, Laura? I mean, it's been an amazing month, and we've still got one final thing to play us out with, because we didn't do the regional roundups this month because we didn't have time. We knew it was going to be a long stream, but one region did submit a video of what they've done this month, and we thought we'd play it as the outro. So do you want to have the final word, Laura, before we sign out and play the outro?
Yeah, just apologies that we haven't got the regional graphics this month. It's kind of my fault because I was moving house and then I didn't have time to do them all. I had to focus on the things that we really had to do this week. However, we do have a few graphics from a few of the regions who made their own. I'm going to get them up on the website, so you'll be able to see what people have been getting up to on the website. And we'll be back with them next month. But yeah, we've got a video from PA Eastern, who put together a video about their activism. And I'll just say thank you for watching as well. Do get involved, IRL. Come and meet the guys in your region. All the contact details are on the PA website. And I'll be back on Monday with Sam for Tea Time with Sam and Laura at 7 o'clock. But yeah, take care, everyone, and have a nice weekend.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, on Sunday night, I'm back for the Nationalist A Team. It's been a great stream. It's been a great month. I just want to thank everyone again. Thank you to Laura. Thank you to every one of our activists, every one of our organisers. Thanks to all the people who turned up at the demonstrations. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously and helps to help make these things happen. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. It has been an absolutely amazing show, and it's been an amazing month. And now I'm going to play you out with something that I hope you enjoy. Here we go. Thank you and good night, and hopefully see you on Sunday for the Nationalist A Team, 7 p.m, same place, usual time. Here goes. Good night, everybody.
Hi, my name's Wesley Russell. It's very telling that a lot of the conversation tonight seems to be around the hotel. Now, don't take us for fools when you say that these people are refugees. We know they are illegal migrants.
We'll move straight to the next question, please.